I'm opening. We have an eye, sort of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, this is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
There it is. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another Anatomy of a Movie. This week, we're dissecting the animated feature, Home. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
So let's jump off by asking this question. Did you enjoy Home, or should you have stayed home? Let's put it that way.
Generally, for a kid's film, buddy film, it was very entertaining, very colorful.
Yes.
I think it was a very simple story that kids and families can easily follow, and I think that's the good thing that they executed with a simple kids film. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to compare this to other 3D animation films, no, I wouldn't say this is the best, but I definitely would say this film was entertaining, it was heartfelt, and kind of hits home in a way.
Yeah. Yes, it does, especially the end. I absolutely agree, because for a lot of this movie, I was just going, when am I going to start liking it? Because I wanted to, but it didn't really kick in until actually the last act, when you really start getting into pulling the heartstrings and stuff. And that I thought was very effective. It was for me anyway, is that I think, people I was watching it with, they really got into the ending there and how, you know, they brought it all home, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done quite well at that, but the rest of it was kind of like, what is going? I mean, I know you say it's a simple story. In a sense, it is a simple story, but it was very unfocused for me. So that was my challenge with it, is like, what are you trying to tell?
I think I can understand the unfocused aspect of it, because mm-hmm. I felt like throughout the film, there were moments where it was not so much dragging, but nothing was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a chase here and there. Mm-hmm. And then it's like another
the whole
dull period.
Is a chase,
it's like up and down, up and down. It mm-hmm. wasn't really constant throughout. Mm-hmm.
And I was at the end of it, I'm going, okay, so if I had to tell the story to somebody, what is the actual story about? Is it about finding home, as the title would suggest, or is it standing up, instead of running away? I mean, all those themes are in there, but for me, I couldn't really land on which one it actually was about.
They were just
kind of throwing things out and say some of it was working, some of it wasn't. I'm going, where's the through line? Did somebody not decide on one, or did they just figure, we'll just all be in there?
Yeah, I think what you're saying, they're hitting all different metaphorical and physical aspects of what a home mm-hmm. is and how people define home.
Yeah, those kinds of things I thought were a lot of fun, but
an exact one.
No, they didn't really crystallize on any one of them, and I thought that for me, that movie suffered for that, because it wasn't really clear, and there wasn't a clarion viewpoint or anything like that. It was just kind mm-hmm. of, here's this idea, here's this idea, here's this idea. We kind of put them all together, and then you kind of figure out what home is and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, as for being made for the younger audience, which I would say that this is under 12s, that I think they really would enjoy that more. I don't think you can afford to do that. I think you kind of want to let them know what it is and maybe say it a few times so that it sinks in. Like, for instance, Cinderella. It's all about being kind and courageous. I mean, how many times do they say that, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, that one was clear. Go ahead.
And the thing about Cinderella is that there are so many different variations of Cinderella.
Right.
You can throw in those different elements to make mm-hmm. a one big grand
sure.
production. Whereas Home, originally conceptualized in a short story.
Right.
And I think taking that short story and adding more cushion
mm-hmm.
to it, a more storyline to it, mm-hmm. that I think that's maybe where they lost people, because just trying to add more elements to it, they didn't have
out.
A clear thing.
Yeah, that's where it was tougher for me. But it was definitely colorful. I can see how, especially, I went with a group of, didn't bring the kids, but I went at a movie where there was a bunch of kids. So it was a mixed audience, meaning adults and kids.
Right.
Pretty full audience, I'd say half and half kids. And the kids, I think the kids really enjoyed it.
As for me, I mean, I went at a normal Friday night screening mm-hmm. filled with adults, filled with a lot of teenagers as
really?
Well. there was two girls next to me laughing mm-hmm. their heads off. So, and I'd have to say they were older teenagers, uh-huh. but there was probably a 7-year-old to my other side. Uh-huh. So, well, a lot of different ages.
Well, you bring up a good point there. So, because in my audience, I didn't see any teenagers. There were probably some there, but let's just say that I didn't see very many. Do you think, well, let me put it this way. I don't think there was a lot there for an adult audience. It wasn't for me anyway. Not that I don't think it was made for me, but you know, a lot of movies like, let's say, going back to The Incredibles, I think any age could enjoy that.
Oh, yes. Fantastic movie.
Yeah, exactly. This one doesn't seem like it's geared at all towards an older audience or could even grasp on it. For me, there wasn't much there for an adult.
Not so much for adults, but yeah. There, I do have to give this film, there were a lot of moments where I personally laughed because there were a lot of just elements where the adults can laugh. And the mm-hmm. O2, only adults would.
Right, sure.
I can't specifically pick a certain joke, but
no,
only...
No, I understand what you're saying. There's a couple jokes in there that only adults are going to get, and yeah. that's why they threw them in. You know, let's throw something for the
and adult. And I think that's the only thing that the
for story-wise,
the adult...
there wasn't much there. I mean, it's a hard sell anyway for an adult storyline just because... aliens come over and take over the Earth right. and then get rid of all the
But I can also humans. Understand a parent looking for her lost child. So,
sure,
I
that
mean,
part.
They but, can but it's, definitely it's, grab onto that.
But we're barely there. With
the, yeah, they
really
hardly
about,
show that.
Exactly. So
it's more from the yeah. kid's perspective of so, trying to find the parent.
Yeah, and that, which is fine. It's just that I thought they would have been better served if they had made a more universal story or something that the adults could hang on to, much like The Incredibles and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. the kids are a huge part of that. But that just they chose not to, which is fine. You know.
Yeah, and how The Incredibles didn't get a sequel is beyond me. But that's a whole nother...
Yeah, exactly. So, but let's see. Let's talk about the things. Well, you mentioned color. And did you like the animation on it?
Yes, I loved just the visual because...
Mm-hmm. The production designer.
Tim yeah. Johnson, who yeah. directed this, he talked about building a whole new race mm-hmm. in species and
right.
that how that would
the
look.
Boov.
The Boov alien yeah. community. And he yeah. said, because he personally is a big sci-fi fan, mm-hmm. so he thought, what if the aliens were purple? And what yeah. if they show different moods, like a mood ring,
yeah,
a living mood.
I thought that was
ring.
A lot of fun.
I thought that was fun.
I hadn't seen any trailers or anything, so I didn't know what to expect. So the fact that they change colors with their emotions and stuff, and I thought
they
that
travel
was
in bubbles.
Yeah, those kinds of things. I thought that a lot of very interesting, inventive ways of creating a new race and new universe and that kind of thing. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I liked how they added the hovering aspect
yeah.
And just things literally turning upside down mm-hmm. and going against the gravitational mm-hmm. force that
yeah.
our human world is right. known for. So I liked how they played with those elements.
Yeah, and one of the things that I wanted more of is how we differ, meaning our race and the Boov. Because, you know, it, for a lot of times, how do they know our language? So easily.
Right.
Obviously, they had problems with it because they mm-hmm. have their way of speaking. But it's like, and so much of it was just kind of glossed over. But I thought those differences were funny to me. But I never got a real understanding of how that all happened or why. And it was not part of the movie. Maybe they chose not to have it in or didn't think it needed it.
Well, yeah. And I also thought of that, too. It's like they're human in that human aspect. They're very mm-hmm. human because they
yeah.
have emotions and they have feelings mm-hmm. and all that. But also, it's the character traits are slightly different. That
yes, and
they're
they
very
know,
cowardly,
and they don't know what family is. And so, but even that was like, if the movie's about you know creating your own family, we never learned why they didn't know how to associate as family. Except they do know how to associate as clans
and as friends.
Exactly. So I was like, well, why isn't that clear if the thing's about home and the family you is the one you make? And that was missing for me. And did you feel that same way? Because like, what is it about? Why is it that they don't understand the human condition and how are they different?
No, not really, because I think the only difference that I saw between the Boov and humans is just the way they act and how they approach certain situations.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
It's just they run away
they like
and humans
away.
Don't.
Yeah, if you care about something, you run to the danger. Is that,
yeah.
I mean,
but yeah, there really was no difference other than physical appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some very strange differences, though, in those appearances. What they eat was a lot of fun. They just... I mean, I
that's
like,
what? Yeah, that's yeah. what I loved. I loved how their human interaction with the yeah. human objects, like the football, eating footballs,
yeah.
and
yeah.
eating the Monet painting.
Yeah,
that,
and then,
that
or the you know drinking the motor oil, and saying, or eating the actual lug nuts.
Oh,
I was like,
yes.
What? There's
it's fantastic
weird
food.
creatures. Yeah, you know, I was thinking, how do they, that spongy thing, eat a lug nut? How does that work?
Yeah, but, and yeah. It's funny because there were moments where they didn't know the human objects, but
yeah.
Moments where they did know human things, like mm-hmm. lemonade. How would you know what lemonade is and what mm-hmm. color it is?
Yeah.
But
or the mints.
Or the mints. But they didn't know what
no.
objects were.
No.
So, but that I'm okay with because mm-hmm. being an adult and understanding that's not what you consume, yeah. that's what made it funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, but I guess you can't obviously write every backstory or where they came from. I just thought the fact that it's about home and I wanted to know how they came to be and what was their, because I didn't know what their backstory was, meaning the Booth. I get, yeah, they were chased, and I get the whole, what do they call that stick? Whatever it was, the shushing stick.
Shusher.
Yeah, I get all that part.
That was
but
funny.
I'm just going, but what causes them to be the way they are, which is they don't seem to have family, or he doesn't understand what family is, yet they all stick together like a family. So it's like, what are you trying to say about these,
yeah,
this
think
group of people?
The Booth's only philosophy is just to run away from everything.
Yeah, I know.
And being led by the leader,
the
Booth.
Ridiculous Steve Martin.
Who, yes, loves Steve Martin.
Yeah.
But, you know, having a leader that's so notorious for
yeah.
running away from things.
And that is kind of fun. I mean, how often do you have a leader that runs away?
Right. So it's only natural that the whole community
yeah.
would also run
that's
away.
That's right. He's the best at running away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So therefore, he's the leader. I just think
there
that's hysterical. Yeah. Anyway, look out, coming through. I got a baby.
Right. But going off with the whole backstory, we did see this short animation
right.
that premiered at the beginning of Rio 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Sherman and Mr. Peabody,
okay.
those short films,
yes.
Those films last year in 2014,
uh-huh.
At the beginning of those in theaters, they showed this short animation for Almost Home,
mm-hmm.
which was a promotional video for this.
Oh, there you go. See, I didn't see those.
And it's all about just the Booth Nation going to all these different planets
mm-hmm.
and being inhabitable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're running away from monsters, or one planet's in complete darkness, one planets like complete volcanic rock and all, like all things and elements that they can't physically live there. So
yeah.
So that's slightly they're on
that's
this constant
teaser.
Yes, they're on this constant search for finding a planet that they can actually live on.
Okay, now how about the way they chose to represent humans? Did you like the way they drew that, or the cat?
The cat.
Well, I can't remember the cat's name. What's the cat's name? Do you remember?
Oh, goodness.
Whatever.
No.
So I didn't like the way they drew the cat. It's like, I want my cats to be, I don't know, not like that.
No, but I did like how they interacted the cat.
Oh, no,
with
I'm just talking the way
but
it actually looked. I loved what it did
mm-hmm.
and how it responded.
Or how
and
it looked.
And stuff. Yeah, I'm just talking about the look of it.
I don't know. That,
it, I was like,
that person
that
did
not
really bother me because
oh,
the cat
did.
Was there for humorous effect.
Yeah.
And that's all
and
that
I got the thing.
Out
it didn't even look funny to me. I go, just look. I said, get that thing off the screen. I know that's a completely subjective thing. And
right.
the cat serves a purpose, and it serves that purpose well. And it's fun to watch. I just couldn't. I did not like the way it actually physically looked. And
mm-hmm.
it was just driving me crazy. And I didn't like the way the humans were drawn.
Well, the thing is, the humans weren't really part of the story. I mean,
no,
they
but,
were there, but
well,
they
she,
weren't.
You know,
yeah,
tip.
I mean, Tip,
yeah.
and maybe the mother here and there,
mm-hmm.
but the human race in and of itself,
yeah.
it really wasn't, it was a back burner kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's like
it was,
they didn't really
sure.
focus on it.
Yeah.
But I did like how they, when the Booth came over and took over everyone, and
yeah.
how they relocated. When did you notice it was more in like alien crop circles communities?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, that's definitely an ode
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
So.
Crops.
It was, yeah, because
yeah.
when you're looking over Australia,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
all
yeah.
circles.
It's yeah, I didn't even think about the crop circles, but that makes sense.
That's
absolutely.
Like the only thing that popped into my head. I was like, oh, aliens.
Yeah. Makes total sense, now that you say it, but
yeah.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah. What else can we talk about in terms of the amount? I have to say, though, I loved the way that, again, the color they used. Even though all the Booth look the same, they have slight different variations in their coloring and stuff like that. And, of course, when they respond with any kind of emotion, you get to see all that lighting up. I didn't quite get a handle on it. Okay, that Yeah, red means angry. Yellow means what?
Yellow was lying.
Green was lying. Green was lying.
Green. Oh, yes. Green was lying. Yellow was fear.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I wish I had.
Purple was normal. Yeah. But I did like the line, purple. No, the other purple. Not you, purple. Yeah. You know, like just, again, another joke that I think only the adults could probably understand. Mm-hmm. Or when O is typing the password and he let the caps lock on. I mean, who hasn't done that? Especially in time sensitive situations.
Exactly. On passwords, especially, because they always have to do that. I wanted to talk more about the storyline. Other than the things we talked about, what did you enjoy about the story? I mean, what resonated with you? Because I have to say, if it not for that end way they had really tugged on those heartstrings, this would not have worked for me. That kind of rescued the movie for me, I have to say.
I think that with the story is that we've seen buddy films so often, and there's only so many ways you can tell it.
Yeah.
And you meet two different types of people, literally from different worlds, and they're forced together by circumstance. And it's like, okay, we have that out of the way. Now, how do they connect on an emotional level? Yeah. And that they're both lonely
outcasts in a way.
And they're both searching for friends and family.
Mm-hmm. And searching for a home in some way.
Yeah, in some way. I was like, that's what I could definitely relate to and gravitate towards as a human, on that human connection. But other than a general buddy buddy story, it's like, okay, they're dancing, okay, they're having fun in the bathroom. Just like, I mean, anyone could be, you know, could connect and bond in dancing or singing or anything.
Did that work for you, the dancing in the car?
I like the dancing, but the thing is, also with the promotion, I've seen the dancing scene so many times that by the time I saw it in film, I was like, okay, yeah, I've seen this already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see that.
And so going, reflecting, it's like, I've seen buddy films already.
Yeah. I mean, and we will continue to see them because it's a good formula. I mean, they do work. I mean,
this one, obviously, because there's so many of them.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why you do them.
Exactly. They'll make their money. This one wasn't as successful in that regard for me, only because for whatever reason in the midpoint, not the midpoint, but through the second act, I kept going, when is this going to kick in where I can start liking it and latching onto it in some fashion? Because until then, I don't know what it was. I'm trying to put my finger on it. I didn't really have a good, for me, it didn't have a good focus on what it was trying to say. And then I also didn't really land on any of the characters to really follow through, because I just didn't. I don't know why.
Right. I mean, I liked Boof and or O, O, because like the whole generation is Boof. But O was a fun, interesting alien character, because I think our generation's so trained to aliens being scary.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that it's very comedic type of
race. Scary. It wasn't scary.
It wasn't
at
as scary.
Except for the fact that, you know, of course, our main character is afraid of him because he stole her, in her mind, he stole her mom or kidnapped mom. My mom.
My mom.
So there is that kind of fear that she has to overcome. But other than that, there. How could you be afraid? He's more scared of anything else than he would be scared of causing fear in anybody else.
And that's the thing. None of them caused fear.
No.
Not because all they do is run away from fear. So if they were scary, they would run away from themselves.
But they have an amazing gun, which blows people.
But I do like the fact that they did build a antagonist type of character, the villain per se.
Yeah, well drawn, and you know, it's very scary.
Scary.
And it reminded me of actually the antagonist in Galaxy Quest. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Same here.
Same. Didn't it remind you of that?
That was the first thought I had in my mind. Yeah. I was like, wow, exactly like it.
But then, of course, at the end, you find out, much like Men in Black, there's this little creature inside the big monster, which is a starfish of all things, or looks like a starfish that just wants its babies.
Yeah, so. And it just wants to create another home for its family.
Exactly.
It's like, so it's the whole, everybody's trying to create
everybody,
a home.
Yeah, and everybody's sad, mad. Money.
But yes, no, I definitely thought Saris in my head.
Did you?
Great film.
Yeah, it was. Fabulous film.
Fabulous film.
Well, speaking of some of that, let's talk about some of the acting. We have to get into that.
Of course, Rihanna.
Yeah, Rihanna.
Or Rihanna. That's how you properly say her name. Rihanna.
Yeah,
What did you think of her voice acting?
It was okay. How do I say this? I would say that it's tough when your lead isn't as strong as everybody else.
I completely agree. I mean, she's done some film acting, but this is her first animated mm-hmm. character, and I think now I don't want to call her green, mm-hmm. but I don't think she has the experience to really convey human emotional just via voice. I mean, uh-huh. she's a great singer. I'll give her that. I mean, she has a, mm-hmm. definitely a music following, but for voice acting, mm-hmm. It's hard to have voice for someone, for a kid. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and kids' emotions only range from here to there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was as strong as it could have been.
Mm-hmm. And because the other ones, again, you know, like Matt Jones, who I forgot the character he plays, the cop, basically.
Yeah, it's a character. Kyle. My friend Kyle.
And worked with him on a few occasions, and I loved him. I love Steve Martin, was funny to me.
I love Steve Martin.
I thought he was wonderfully over the top, and it was deserved. That part deserved it, needed it. So I thought that worked well.
How about Jim Parsons?
Jim Parsons, yeah. He has a tough one because, I mean, in a way, it's right in his wheelhouse because it's kind of like, you know, the big...
Sheldon.
Yeah, kind of.
From Big Bang.
Yeah, and that he doesn't really understand humans. And, you know, like Sheldon doesn't really...
High IQ, low EQ.
Yeah, that, exactly. So in that respect, it's kind of works. But it was tough, again, for me, just because of the character, not for Jim Parsons, because I thought what he was given, he was able to convey those things. And, you know, in a way, at some point, you realize he is conveying human emotions, even though he's not human. And that's what he learns in some fashion, not only to stand up, but to fight for what you believe in and mm-hmm. to protect the ones you love and care for and all that kind of stuff. And that's a human trait, not so much a blue trait.
Yeah, the thing I loved about Jim Parsons' personality and how he conveyed it with mm-hmm. O is that, yes, he has such an individual voice that you hear it and you yeah. automatically think it's him. Mm-hmm. And I think with his character Sheldon in Big Bang Theory, yeah. it's so memorable that yeah. I had a hard time depicting...
Separating the two.
And separating yeah. his personality from that show to his personality mm-hmm. in real life to O. And then... Yeah. For that reason, I couldn't really emotionally connect uh-huh. to O, because I'm like, it's just Jim Parsons. It's yeah. just him being the way that we all know and mm-hmm. love.
Yeah. I wasn't encumbered by that because I don't really watch the show. No offense. It's just something I don't watch. But yeah, I think it's a fine show and he does a great job.
I didn't mind it. I just yeah. couldn't have that separation.
Yeah. I was okay with it. I thought that his style fit that character too, or the way he chose to portray it anyway. I thought it really fit.
Yeah, and Jim Parsons mentioned how he got onto the project that the casting agency got a hold of his agent, and he didn't see any shorts of, uh-huh. and didn't really know. He only saw like what the O
what
character
looked like. Yeah.
And then he himself as an actor was like, okay, how would this type of alien react to things and how mm-hmm. he would say and project lines?
Well, little moments like, ouch, pain.
yeah. And Jim also said his favorite line is, I too has to break pee out of the whole film, which is funny because that inverted speech that yeah. kind of reminded me of Yoda in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, syntax is messed up. Yeah. Yeah, that was good. You had mentioned that you have some information regarding the marketing of this, because I wanted to talk about that because it's all over now. The posters and everything are all over
yeah.
this, but you're saying they missed some opportunities.
They, DreamWorks, because this is the first 3D animated film that has a black protagonist, a black leading mm-hmm. protagonist, which I found interesting because I never really thought of it that way.
I really thought she's just a 12-year-old. I didn't really...
Right, and I didn't really think of it that way because they're saying one marketing, like McDonald's,
mm-hmm. right.
The McDonald's food chain restaurant, they missed out on, you know, the Happy Meals has toys, and mm-hmm. all the toys are only the aliens, and they could have created a toy for Tip.
They didn't include her?
And they didn't create her. And then the marketing director for McDonald's said, we really focused on the different colors aspect mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the booth and how many different images of mm-hmm. the alien race we could create. And we didn't really think of mm-hmm. the girls. But if you think about it, so many people go to McDonald's just mm-hmm. to get the toys.
Yeah.
And if you created a toy that was for the black
lead.
Community, yeah, black community, so many girls would have enjoyed and like they could
sure.
have really built a marketing aspect mm-hmm. geared towards that demographic.
Mm-hmm.
and they
because even in
they
Big Hero
the mark
6, they had all the hero characters, so to speak.
Yeah,
and but they included the guy, the little kid.
Yeah,
and whatever it was, the 12-year-old.
So they missed the opportunity for little girls of that demographic to really just latch onto
little
and have
to
toys
McDonald's.
For that. Yeah. Absolutely. Another situation is the posters. Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of urban cities, you can see the home promotional posters with the aliens, but there are some areas that only feature the aliens. There's no tip in. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're really geared towards the creative, colorful looks of the people, but not towards
That's weird, because
the black
we're looking
community.
At the poster right here in the home poster. It's got, you know, tip right next to
Oh. Tip and O. Yeah. But I guess
Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, but I guess there are some promotional posters that just focus on the alien race.
Well, I can kind of see that because here it's this goofy, cuddly little thing, and you know, in that respect, they get that part of it. But I don't know why they wouldn't include Tip as part of the Happy Meals or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean that'd be a fun like toy and doll to play with.
Yeah,
but I did find out that the Denny's restaurant, which I find actually interesting, Denny's restaurant, they're kicking off this new partnership with DreamWorks, and later on in 2015 year, their menu app that will create, I'm reading my notes here. Their app, it works like this. The users can download their app and build digital structures of colors, you know, coloring pictures and whatnot. And so when the kids fill the colors, then they can take photos with them, selfies with them, and like they tap on it, it becomes like 3D animation that way. And one of the films that it's geared to is Mr. Peabody and Sherman, The Croods, How to Train Your Dragon, and Home.
Wow.
So in the future, in on their colorful menus for the kids to play with, they'll see home marketing.
Wow. Look at that. Way to go, Denny's.
From Denny's. Yeah. I was like, that's fun. I mean, when you're a kid and you go to Denny's, all you want to do is color. And might as well color movies. So I think Denny's is really stepping up the marketing aspect in that way. I would have never thought of that.
So I don't know if there's going to be huge groundswell of marketing on this. You know, for toys and stuff like that. I
haven't really seen anything other than the aliens.
Yeah, and I'm going, well, I don't know where, because usually you see all this stuff way before the movie comes out. It comes huge, and then it gets, of course, bigger. I don't know that. I mean, the audiences are liking this. You know, what is it? It's you know, for critics, it's getting a 49 out of 100.
Right.
Excuse me, but for the audience, they're giving it a 69. So, you know, they're liking it more, and I tend to agree with the critics on this one, but you may think differently. But
I haven't really seen, because I don't really play with toys anymore, but I haven't really seen promotional marketing in that aspect for toys.
I don't,
other than just posters and
you know, even though that being said about the audience is in favor of it and stuff like that, I don't know that it has. I'm not hearing a lot of talk about it. I'm not hearing a lot of people say, oh, you have to go see, you know. I'm not hearing that at all, even in
word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth. I'm not hearing that. Or in circles where there are kids and all that other stuff, I'm not hearing any of that.
All right, from you, after having seen this film, would you recommend this film for others?
I certainly would recommend it if you have young kids and you want to have an afternoon with them and take them to a movie. Yeah, this is a great one to go to because, you know, there's nothing, you know, you don't have to worry about it. It's like, oh my God.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's got some nice messages, has some tear-jerking moments at the end there and stuff. So for that part, yeah, it's kind of a great babysitter. It's a long babysitter for this kind of movie, but
yeah, because I was watching, and I was telling you before we went on air that there's a lot actually does happen in this film, and I didn't realize how long it actually was to condense all these big high action sequences in an animated film like this.
So I can certainly recommend it for that kind of thing. I you know, if you're an adult, you know, and you have your kids with you, you know, you're probably going to enjoy it through your kids more than you would actually enjoy it yourself. That's my suggestion or my thinking on that. I mean, what is your thinking on it?
I'm more of a visual person. I love the color and the visual design aspect of it, so that's what I really enjoyed. For kids, and like, there are a lot of good jokes in it that kids and adults can enjoy.
There's a lot of slapstick.
Shush. I think that was the one moment I laughed out loud, really loud.
I have to say, though, there was such better animated movies that I've seen that this one, you know, and again, I didn't know what to expect, or but if I compare it to others, I'd have to say that this is kind of lackluster in that sense. It doesn't really reach like Incredibles or other ones that we've mentioned for really being top notch. Even How to Train Your Dragon, the first one, I haven't really seen the second one. But even that, where that to me there's a much greater message and more fun and that kind of stuff, this one doesn't really reach that. But I think they really did gear this toward a younger audience. So in that respect, I guess that's okay because they're not really expecting it to be more than what it is.
All right. And just another joke, the stress blanket.
Oh, yes. Bubble wrap. I have to say that was the best laugh in the theater I saw it in. With the stress blanket
and him rolling funny. On
there. Yeah, everybody loved that. Everybody loved it.
That was hilarious.
Very universal.
who doesn't love bubble wrap?
Exactly. So, but other than that, we didn't have a lot of laughs, I have to say. It was okay when it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed at all the adult jokes. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, what do we have in terms of...
I enjoyed the music, actually, because I really noticed it in the last third act of the film.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There was the one song, especially where she's crying and she ends up not finding mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one clearly was
It was all because it was like Rihanna songs and J-Lo songs, Jennifer Lopez songs. Mm-hmm. It was the only music that had actual lyrics being sung out, mm-hmm. other than the dancing song, but sung out that complements everything that's going on screen. Mm-hmm. And actually, Rihanna. I'm going to have to train myself to say Rihanna. Rihanna's music and her career, and she used her musical ability to create a concept album for this film, especially, because three of her songs are original that only premiere in home, and then we had Jennifer Lopez, Feel the Light, which was also... made just for this movie.
Yeah.
But also that all the soundtracks in this concept album is more for the storytelling and reflects everything that's going on, which I thought was interesting because three of Rihanna's songs was Towards the Sun. So that was pretty much when they're running away from everybody.
Yeah, everybody chasing them.
And then As Real as You and Me, which was more so the friendship between Tip and O building and them bonding. And then Rihanna's third song, Dancing in the Dark, was just having fun at the end.
Yeah.
And everybody being dancing. Friends. And then also, of course, Jennifer Lopez's song, Feel the Light, is when she's finding her mother.
Yeah.
Which goes along with the storytelling and all the emotions throughout this film.
So what do we have? Do we have any numbers on production? Because I don't have those. Do you have any?
Well, the budget for this film was $135 million. Yes, and this film only opened it opened up to $54 million the opening weekend, which was actually $20 million more than they were expecting.
Yeah,
they were expecting around 30-35.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything on the second week?
The second week, it's currently up to, as of April 7th, it's a little bit over $100 million.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll be fine then. Probably.
Yeah, I think it will eventually get its money back. And I don't have anything on the P&As. That's more Dimitri's thing. But I think with DVD sales and future marketing, hopefully, now that they realize what they haven't done, that maybe it will
up with
send.
Something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will get its money back.
Yeah. And.
I just, you know, I kind of just want to go back to the story, the short story. I mean, I haven't read the book, but I just want to.
I don't
having
know the
source watched,
material.
Yeah, having watched this film, I just kind of want to read the short film because the New York Times raved about it.
Yeah,
and that's how the director Tim Johnson found out about it, because he was looking for a book to read to his three sons out loud, and he found New York Times was raving about this book, and he read it, and then. Having read it, he wanted to make the film out of it.
Well, it's that easy.
Yeah. I mean, if he can do it, anybody can do it.
So every book that you like, this will figure out how to turn it into a movie. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
But I will say that it was a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. And I definitely want to download, you know, Jennifer Lopez, Feel the Light.
Oh, yeah, you like that
one. Yeah, it's a great song.
Okay, good deal. Any last words? Because I don't know what else we can cover.
Enjoyable kids movie.
Yeah.
I won't say it's up to par with all the other DreamWorks films that we have seen in the past.
Yeah.
But for, because this film is actually supposed to air or be released back in November 2014, mm-hmm. but they actually switched the date with The Penguins in Madagascar.
Right.
So. And this will be the last, the next DreamWorks film won't be released until 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think they made it for they made it for a younger audience. I think that audience will really enjoy that. And everybody else is like, it's okay. You know, you're not going to get hurt by going to this movie, but you're not going to go get thrilled by it either, I don't think.
Right. And I think the difficult thing with DreamWorks, and especially Home in and of itself, it's an original DreamWorks movie.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you think about all the past DreamWorks, Penguins in Madagascar, there's already been like three Madagascar films before that. How to Train Your Dragon, there was one before that. And the next DreamWorks film is Kung Fu Panda 3. So they're already building movies based off of already established franchise, and this is the first one.
Do you think this guarantees another one?
I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think so? I don't know that. I mean, but just by watching it, if I had to go by just how I felt as I was watching it, I would say, no, don't do another.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
But
that.
If they're looking at their numbers, I'm sure they'll decide that based on just the numbers.
It's hard to say if they will, only because the last few years of DreamWorks, they haven't garnered as much money as they've been expecting.
Yeah.
And
but they did better than they thought.
Yeah, they did better with Home. But I think it's the other films that they've have already been established that will guarantee make them money back.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Kung Fu Panda 3, that's the third one in its franchise. So.
Well, Kung Fu is huge.
Kung Fu is huge. Yeah. And that's geared towards adults and kids as well.
All right, so we're going to let that be the last word. Let them know where they can find us.
You can follow all of us on YouTube and Twitter at Popcorn, the Popcorn Talk Network. You can follow Anatomy of a Movie on Twitter at Movie Anatomy.
And you?
And you can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV.
That's right. You can only find me here on the next Popcorn Talk. Thanks very much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.